five stages of Holy Spirit activity. First of all, the Holy Spirit draws people in. Now notice that the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus by building his church. The Holy Spirit knows how important the church is to Jesus. And all the Holy Spirit activity is about building the church. It's about encouraging the church, because the church needs a great deal of encouragement. And the Holy Spirit needs you to be his mouthpiece, to be his hands at his feet, because he needs somebody. He needs a man. He needs a woman who will stand up and say, "Count me in, because I am going to be the instrument. I am going to be the implement that the Holy Spirit is going to use in my generation, because I am going to make a difference and I am going to make an impact." He draws people in to the church. It says in John 3:5, "No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Holy Spirit." No one can enter the kingdom of God. So when people enter the kingdom of God and they join the church and they love the church, you know the Holy Spirit is active and working in their lives. Are you drawn towards other Christians? Do you want to work with other Christians? Do you want to be with other Christians? You know the Holy Spirit is active in your life because that's what he does. He draws people to come in. And he opens people's eyes so that people can see Jesus, and so that people can see how important the church is to Jesus. Now, you see, when he opens people's eyes to Jesus, it's not about a doctrine. It's not even about a church. It's about a person. He opens our eyes to the person of Jesus and what he has done in our lives. This is the foundation of all that we do. It's a relationship with Jesus. And it's the Spirit of God who brings you, who draws you, who makes that relationship with Jesus possible. He's the foundation. He's a strong foundation. He's a firm foundation. I heard a little story recently about a boy who used to go to the beach in the summertime, and he used to build these fantastic, amazing sand castles. And when he had built them all in the evening time, these local thugs used to come along, and what do you think they used to do? They used to kick them all down. But the little boy, he learned a trick or two. So what he did was, when he was building these sandcastles, he used to put rocks and bricks at the base of the sandcastles so that when the thugs came, they met their match and they left his sandcastles alone. You know, you can be trying to build your life on your own strength and on your own steam. You can be relying upon yourself, and the devil just comes along and he just blows a puff of air towards you. And what do? You fall down. But you know, when you have Jesus as the foundation stone, as the rock of your life, the devil can come and he can do anything that he likes. But your life is going to stand strong and firm because you are built on a rock. And who is that rock? That rock is Jesus. We stand. We have power to stand. The devil cannot just come along and blow us over. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what trial, no matter what difficulty you are going through, and we heard in the prophecies earlier that there are people here this morning going through really difficult times, but you know, Jesus is your miracle. He is the miracle. Trust in him with all your heart and you will come through, because not only are you built upon a rock, but the church is built upon a rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ himself. So he draws you into a relationship that glorifies God, that honors Jesus when you enter into a relationship with Jesus. And then he helps you to grow that relationship, because the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to be a baby forever. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to be strong. He wants you to have some maturity and some backbone yourself. And it's a relationship with the Holy Spirit who can help you to do that. And he does that above all through prayer. It says in Romans 8:26 that we don't know how to pray. But guess what? We have a helper. We have somebody who helps us. You know, it's great to have helpers in your life, isn't it? We did an amazing wedding here yesterday, and thanks to all the helpers. We couldn't have done it without the helpers. The Holy Spirit is your helper, and he helps you to pray. The Holy Spirit, it says, helps us. We don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Isn't that a wonderful thing to have in our lives? And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 says, keep asking. Okay, don't stop asking for the Holy Spirit's help. It says, keep asking so that the Spirit gives you wisdom and revelation to know Jesus better. It's not just his job to bring you into a relationship. It's his job to deepen that relationship. So if you're not growing in your relationship with Jesus, are you asking the Holy Spirit to help you? Are you really praying? Are you seeking after God? So ask the Holy Spirit. Keep asking the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, keep giving me that spirit of wisdom, that spirit of revelation, so that I may know my Lord Jesus Christ better, that I may grow up into maturity, that I may develop a stronger relationship with him. So the Holy Spirit is always active, helping you to grow, drawing you into church, drawing you towards the Bible to read the Bible. Remember, so many people say, oh, after I became a Christian, I picked up the Bible and it meant something to me. I was actually able to understand it. Now, who do you think helps you to do that? That's the Holy Spirit. That's because you have now got the Holy Spirit active and operating in your life. So need to rely on the Holy Spirit to keep opening your eyes, to keep growing you. You need to keep growing. You know, don't go backwards in your Christian faith. It's onwards, Christian soldiers. Amen. That's where the Holy Spirit wants to take you. He wants to take you on. I believe there are some people here this morning. You've got a decision to make. Do you want to go onwards with God's Christian soldiers? Or are you going to kind of stay on the sidelines? Are you going to even detach yourself from the Church of Jesus Christ? Do you remember what happened to the people of God who detached themselves from the community? They were taken down by the Amalekites. They were taken down by their spiritual enemies. You are in a precarious position if you detach yourself from the people of God, because the Holy Spirit has drawn you in. The Holy Spirit wants to grow you, and the Holy Spirit wants to unify you into the church, because that's what the Holy Spirit does next. He unifies the people of God. The Holy Spirit has seen unity in practice and unity in operation because he belongs to the Trinity. You know the Trinity? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's an amazing unity between them. You couldn't get a piece of paper between them. You couldn't get anything between. They are in perfect harmony. They move in perfect unity. They are in perfect agreement. They move together. So the Holy Spirit understands what unity is. And it's the job of the Holy Spirit to bring unity into the church. And he gives that unity to the church as a gift. It's not something we have to work for. It's something we receive. It's something we have. But as I've said before, it's something we have to preserve. Yeah, it's something we have to work at in order to keep it and not to do anything that's going to dissipate that unity within the church. You know, there are people who call for unity. We hear about ecumenism, and we need to realize that there are different levels of unity. But you know, I agree with what Spurgeon says, that great preacher of the last century or even two centuries ago. Spurgeon said that unity has to be based upon truth, upon the truth of God's word. That's where we base our unity. It's based upon the essential truth of the Bible, the essential truth of the word of God. He said, truth alone must determine our alignments. Truth comes before unity. Unity without truth is hazardous. And so remember that. We need unity because, you know, when we have unity, we can do amazing, powerful things. There's a cartoon there called Peanuts. Linus, or is it Linus? Linus and Lucy. Lucy comes into Linus one day And she demands a change of television channels. And she's threatening him with her fist if he doesn't agree. And he says to her, he says, "What gives you the right to come in here and to make demands that I change the television channels?" And Lucy says, "These five fingers," she said. Individually, she said, "they are nothing. But when I clench them together like that," she said, "they become a power to be reckoned with." And Linus says, "Okay, which channel?" And then he turns around and he says to himself, or to his fingers, he says, "Why can't you get organized like that?" And, you know, it's like that in churches as well. We are a powerful force against the devil when we unite. When we add our collective faith and our collective prayers and energy together, we are a powerful force against the devil, wherever we are, when we unite. But, you know, a lot of churches are saying to their members, you know, "Why can't you get organized like that?" There needs to be the drawing together, the organization, the coming together of people so that the church can do its job. So the Holy Spirit, is his job to unite us and to draw us together, to be a powerful force for Jesus in Ollerton. The greatest force in Ollerton today is the Church of Jesus Christ. There isn't a greater organization in our town than the Church of Jesus Christ. I want you to believe that. And Jesus is involved in your case. The Holy Spirit not only unites the church, but he also defends the church. There was a man called Gustave Eiffel, and he built a famous tower in Paris called the Eiffel Tower. And when that was built in 1889, many people criticized it. He came in for an awful lot of stick. People thought it was ugly. It was a tangle of steel standing in the center of this amazing city. And people dissed it. They criticized it. They didn't like it. And it was going to be taken down after a period of time. But you know, Eiffel himself stood by his tower. And he believed from the very beginning that his tower was destined for greatness. It wasn't popular, but he believed. He stuck by it. He was loyal to it, and he stuck by it. And today, it is one of the most famous and prestigious buildings in the world. I've been up it a number of times. I've stood at the top of it during our honeymoon when Liz and I were married, and we prayed north, south, east, and west from the top of the Eiffel Tower. It's an amazing building. But Gustav Eiffel stood by his construction. And you know, today the church is not very popular. The church is criticized. It seems as if Jesus has entrusted his church to a bunch of bunglers. Yeah? But you know what? Jesus stands by his church. Jesus protects his church. He will never allow his church to fail. And that's like that with us today. People attack us as incompetent. But the Holy Spirit stands by you because the Church of Jesus Christ is one day destined for greatness. One day you will be unveiled as the bride of Jesus Christ. How amazing is that? Hallelujah. I want to encourage you this morning that just like the Holy Spirit stands by the church, you too need to stand by the church. You too need to be cooperating with the Holy Spirit to bring people in. We need people in the church who will help people to grow. We need people in the church who will unify and get the work done. We need people in the church who will be the hands and feet of the Holy Spirit in protecting the church. But the last thing I want to say this morning about the church is that the Holy Spirit makes the church effective in its work. He makes the church effective in its work. And he does this in two ways. The first way is that he gives you amazing fruit. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, this is a fruit that grows in your life. He changes you from the inside out. He makes these wonderful things appear in your life that weren't there before when you cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Isn't there a little song there? I could break into song this morning, but you wouldn't like it. Against such there is no law. There's no law against love or joy or peace or any of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So he gives us fruit. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit to let that amazing fruit of the Holy Spirit grow in your life. And then he makes the church effective not only by your fruit, but by gifts. By fruit and by gifts. The church will have no credibility without fruit. It's our fruit, it's our love, it's our values that give us credibility. If we are two-faced, if we operate out of the works of the flesh, anger and disunity and disharmony and bitterness and lust and greed, if we operate out of these things and backbiting and gossip, if we operate out of these things, then the church loses its credibility, it's powerless, it's lost its teeth. But when we submit to the Holy Spirit and we allow over a period of time the beautiful fruit of the Holy Spirit to develop in our lives and we become more loving people, more joyful people, more giving people, more generous people, more peaceful people, when the world sees that there is a place where people have all these wonderful things, the church gains great credibility. People sit up. And when they come in, they sense that there is something different among the people of God. And then, of course, we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I could spend a whole session on this, and maybe one day I will. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit are an invaluable witness to Jesus in order to glorify Jesus. There are three categories of gifts. There are the gifts of revelation, the gifts of power, and the gifts of edification. Gifts of revelation, these are powerful gifts. The Bible in 1 Corinthians 11 talks of them in terms of the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, and the gift of discernment. Powerful gifts that God gives. They are not earned by you or by me, but when we earnestly desire God and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, God gives you these gifts. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you go away with nothing else out of this, desire the Holy Spirit more and more. Desire his gifts and his fruit in your life so that you grow up to be an amazing man and woman of God, an amazing pillar in the church of Jesus Christ. But the gift of wisdom and knowledge and discernment, the gift of wisdom is a fragment of God's mind into your mind. It doesn't add to the Bible, by the way, because we can't add to the Bible, but it helps us to apply the Bible in our daily lives in an amazing way. That's the gift of wisdom. Then the gift of knowledge is a word from God, knowledge from God that you wouldn't normally know by human means. It can tell you of coming danger. It can tell you even a person's thoughts or can reveal to you their character. Or as we often experience, it can reveal a need in the church or in the community. I want to encourage you to move in all these gifts. And then, of course, the gift of discernment, which can have insight into the spiritual world and demonic powers that lie there. And for example, if an illness is being caused by a demonic power, as sometimes illnesses are caused by demons, by the gift of discernment, you can actually see. I remember once praying with a woman who had this incredible pain in her back, and she was bedridden with this pain. And a group of us, because it's always good to move in groups when you pray with people, or when you operate the gifts of the Spirit, protect yourself by moving with other people. Don't do it on your own, because people get hurt and they get damaged. And if you've got somebody there with you, then they can guide you sometimes if you're going off in a wrong direction. Make sure you always operate with somebody else. But when I was praying with this lady, she had this pain in her back. And as we were praying, this other girl who was with me, very sensitive to spiritual things, she says, "I see a demon with its claw stuck in this lady's back." This is not a story, by the way. This is true. This actually happened. We began to take authority over that demon. And as we did, the pain began to move. It moved down her leg, and then it went to her knee. And we continued to pray. And as we prayed, that pain continued to go down her leg until eventually it went right out the bottom of her foot. And that woman got up out of bed. She danced around the room, and she ran down the stairs completely free and completely healed. You know, Be open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit when you pray with people. There are the gifts of revelation. Then there are the gifts of power. These are the gifts of faith, of miracles, and of healing. The gift of faith gives you supernatural confidence. It comes from God. It's not presumption, by the way. Be careful that you're not moving in presumption, but you're moving in supernatural power to meet a particular need. And it can bring a blessing into somebody's life. It can bring a healing. It can bring comfort to somebody. The gift of faith, I believe, is the greatest of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I know the Bible says, earnestly desire prophecy. That's a great gift. But the gift of faith is an amazing gift to achieve incredible things, to build the church of Jesus Christ. Are you up this morning for seeking the gifts of the Holy Spirit, being truly a New Testament, supernatural, miraculous, working church? The gift of miracles then suspends or interrupts or controls nature. That's a miracle when it goes against nature. A healing can be a gradual thing, but a miracle, you know it's a miracle because it's gone directly against nature. Jesus worked miracles all the time. And then healings of all sorts. And then the gifts of edification. They are prophecy, tongues, and interpretations. The gift of prophecy is a wonderful gift because it exhorts, it encourages, it edifies. It edifies the church. That's what the Bible says about it. And we should all desire the spiritual gifts, but we should especially desire the gift of prophecy. And that's what it does. It builds up the church. You want to see the church built? Then desire the gift of prophecy. The gift of tongues, we'll talk a little bit about more tonight. But the gift of interpretation helps you to interpret the tongue that has just been shared. And it says in the Bible, everyone who speaks in tongues can be inspired to interpret that gift. It can be a prayer for God's help. It can be a prayer of commitment. It can be a statement of faith. It can be praise directed to God, or it can be worship. All of these, the fruits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, help God to get the job done. They make the church effective. They build up the church. And we, as men and women of God, should earnestly desire more and more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And just because you were baptized in the Holy Spirit 10 years ago or 20 years ago doesn't mean to say that's the end of it. Because we need to go on being refreshed. We need to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I encourage you to come back tonight, because we're going to do some simply worship. We're going to have a short message just to encourage us to reach out to God, to receive the gift. But above all else, we are going to lay hands on people to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and to speak in tongues. Can I encourage you to use the gifts, to seek the gifts, to desire the gifts, but also to use the gifts in the right way? Don't go off as a maverick on your own, because God does not intend the church to operate in that way. God always intends you to operate in pairs and under the oversight of the pastors of the church. It's always a good thing to come to the pastor and say, I feel I've got a word, especially if it's a word for a particular individual, just to come to the pastor, because the pastor may know something that you don't know. It's always a good thing. And while we want to encourage the use of the gifts of the Spirit in our church, we don't want anybody to get hurt. We want the gifts to do what they are intended to do, which is to bless people, which is to heal people, and which is to build up the church of Jesus Christ. I pray that this message will be a blessing to your heart this morning. In Jesus' name.